deals with epiphenomenalism, which has to do with consciousness as a mere accessory of physiological processes whose presence or absence makes no difference. Whatever are you doing?
After a bed, Cervantes, Daniel Defoe,
So welcome to a very special edition of the El Arpa podcast. No Mary here with me today, but giggling in the background there is Mercedes.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you so much for having me today.
No, it's our pleasure because this is... Oh, well, first of all, I have to comment how your body language, you're nervous, are you?
I am, actually. I thought I wouldn't be, but I am.
Don't worry, it's very COVID when the microphone starts, but we'll ease gently along into the interview.
Perfect.
And this isn't your first one. You've done a couple. And
I've done a couple, but this is my first one in English, so it's very special.
We should explain as well. We've been friends, so we know each other.
Yeah.
Declaration of conflict of interest there for the podcast. And you are with me today because you have written a book. And it's about to be published in November.
In November, yeah.
And you've so much to tell me. You've been on tour, or you're going to go on tour.
I'm going to go on tour.
You've done media interviews and things like that.
Yeah.
And the whole project... It has been just this kind of roller coaster ride. So can you tell us a little bit about the book and how it came about?
Okay, so it took me a lot of time to write this book. Years actually, I don't remember exactly when I started. Maybe in high school. I was in high school when the first idea came to my mind, and then just I continued working on it. Maybe 4 years ago, I had my novel ended, and my sister read it. So I decided to send it to a literary contest.
Okay.
I've been sending works to literary contests since I was a little kid, but when you grow up, you start. Getting more nervous, and you don't expect to get big prizes because you have a lot of people there in this kind of world, and there is a lot of rivalry, as I told you about. But then I won this fantastic contest, which is pretty important here in Spain. So I was really surprised; I didn't believe it at all in the first moment. So yeah, they called me in June actually, and I was in Seville the next day receiving this prize, and now we are working on the novel. It's gonna be in the bookshops in November, as you said, and we are gonna be promoting the book in the main cities here in Spain. We are gonna be in the big cities and in my hometown, of course. And I don't know, do you want to know what is it about? Or? There are a lot of things to say about this. I don't know how to start.
Don't worry, we'll find our way there.
Perfect.
But first of all, congratulations for winning that competition.
Thank you so much.
It is nerve-wracking when you enter a competition because you never know, as you said, how it's going to turn out.
Yeah.
And you are right in saying that you never dream of winning the big prize.
No,
it can never happen to me.
No.
But it happened to you, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And before we kind of get into the details of the book,
okay.
What impressed me, and I said this to you as well, and I also said it to your sister, Davina, that like you kept this project a secret as well for such a long time. So this is obviously a surprise for everybody, no?
Yeah, it was, even for my family. This might be weird to hear, but I was kind of ashamed of my work because at first I thought to myself when I ended this novel, well, this is gonna be fine, this is gonna be nice. I mean, I put a lot of work on this. This has to be good. But with time, I started to think that maybe it wasn't that good. So I thought to myself, okay, I'm gonna try to send it somewhere, but I'm not gonna say anything. just in case, because I mean, I don't want to. I'm so proud. I'm a proud person. I don't want to tell others. Okay, I failed. I didn't want to tell it. So it was something of mine. Even my friends didn't know anything about it.
Wow.
Okay, my sister, as I told you before, she read the book, but she didn't know anything about this contest, this competition, because it was so big that I was kind of brave or kind of stupid in some way, sending it to this competition. But I don't know. Now I'm with this big surprise. I'm like, I'm proud of myself.
Well, you should be, for sure. It's an amazing achievement. And also, you were nervous sending it to your sister because you're worried that she's going to rip you to pieces.
Yeah, because she's so fucking honest. I can say bad words here.
Don't worry, no, she's honest. Actively encouraged to swear.
Okay, perfect. She's so honest, in a good and in a bad way.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be really painful to me, but that moment I really needed that help.
Yeah,
I really need someone honest to tell me how good or how bad it was.
She told you that it was a good book, no?
Yeah, it was a good story, because she was like so attracted to it, and it's not even her thing. All of this story of witches and everything is not her thing. I mean, she's more on other things. But she liked it. She read it in 2 days, I think. I mean, she was really fast, and she wasn't even in Spain. She was in Italy.
Wow.
She was on holidays. So I was really surprised. that was a sign that she really liked it. So I thought, well, if she's honest to me, and I know she is, maybe it's not only in my mind that this novel is a good one.
Yeah.
So I don't lose anything if I send it somewhere. But yeah, it was my first. Well, it was not my first one, because some years ago I tried to write a novel, but it was a disaster. Honestly, it was a disaster. It hasn't any structure or something. So no, it's not in my computer anymore, because it was a disaster, as I'm saying. But this one, I really like this one, because it was about something that I love, that his historic time.
Yeah.
This story about witches, it's something that I was really into that in high school. Until now.
And you mentioned witches, so we should say that this is about the Salem witch trials.
Yeah.
And it is an amazing sector, because this historical fiction is very popular. So people seem to devour books like these. So it's a great genre to be in. And what impressed me about your description of your preparation for the book was that you spent a lot of time reading original sources, the court proceedings of the witch trials and things like that. So that's incredible. You're so young, but you were spending so much time with this primary material. How did you find that experience?
I mean, at first, I was reading all things in the internet. Luckily, we have this this source that's so powerful, because once a teacher told me that internet has all the information, but you have to organize all the information, and that is the difficult part. And when I understood it, it really took a lot of time. But I had all this information here, and I saw some movies, some films about this, and it really helped me. When I was reading the original documents, it was hard for me, because they were not in a very ancient English, but because it was in the 1692 or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was in an English that I'm not comfortable with, because I don't work in that kind of technical words, technical vocabulary. But with time, I understood what he was saying. It was really, really interesting to me, because if you know all the story, there are a lot of people in that story, and you have to really choose what is really important to the novel. And it was a hard decision, because everything was so interesting to me. I can't tell everything, because my novel is not only about the original story. I mean, the main character is suffering, and through his memories you can know the real story. But that's not my point.
Okay.
I mean, that's not only my point. But it was really interesting. I mean, that is the hard part of writing a novel, mainly a historical one. It took me a long time, a lot of years to find all the information, not only about the story of this witch, of these false witches, but the data about the historical time, the way they dressed, the way they eat, the way they behave, and all the things that they believe back then, with all the religious theme and everything. It was hard to me to understand because it was not my time, it was not my mentality. But the more you read, the more you understand. And even if you does not agree with, even if you don't agree with the decisions that the judges made back then, you can understand the base of it. It's really interesting.
And did you find like these characters emerged? I mean, these real people emerged, mm-hmm. and you kind of got to know these real people. Did you sympathize with anybody in particular? Did you think anybody was particularly heroic, or was it maybe the opposite of that? Or which people in this real story maybe provoked the strongest reactions in you?
Yeah, it was painful too. Mainly because of all the people that not only the dead people, but the families of the family members that were alive at the end of this. This nightmare, they were suffering because they lost a lot of lovers, a lot of people, and yeah, I'm not a special sentimentalist person, but you don't need to be that sentimentalist to feel pain and to feel shame and yeah, to feel all the sorrow that you see through his through this story. It was hard. It's hard because you know it was real people. I mean, you are not talking about unreal people or characters that you create. You are basing your novel in people who really existed in that time, and there are a lot of griefs in that place, and yeah, you can see all the photos and things like that.
And does that make or did it make your job a little bit harder? Because when you're working with this historical situation, you feel maybe a responsibility to handle it correctly or sensitively. So yeah, it made your job harder, no?
Yeah.
And in terms of, you know, this story, you might have you heard of The Crucible, the play written about the Salem witch trials? Which is basically a metaphor for the McCarthy trials of America in the 50s and things like that. As a relatively young person in 2019, do you see parallels with what happened in Salem and things happening today in any part of the world?
Yeah, there are some parallels, definitely. By the way, it was really interesting, the point, your point, about the responsibility of writing about these things.
Okay.
That you definitely feel that responsibility. And no other journalists have said anything about that, so it's pretty interesting. And yeah, about the parallelism, it really exists. I mean, not at that point. It's not like Arthur Miller's problem.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of... I mean, we are facing some difficult times because some people are really suffering for what they think or what they say. And we have this thing that we call parallel judgment, if I say it correctly, that is really causing a lot of problems in everywhere. But here in Spain, it's causing real problems. I think people should feel precisely more responsible for their opinions when it comes to real people, when it comes even to politicians. I know they make a lot of mistakes, but they are people like us. They tell us they have to answer a lot of things. It's it's logical and it's normal that they make mistakes when they talk to us. There are other people that are not from the political world that suffer from this too. It's a shame, actually.
That's a really interesting answer, because the witches are a group in society that are targeted unfairly. I mean, there are women, for starters, in a patriarchal society, yeah. And that could obviously be seen today as well, in terms of, if you look at Spain, if you're a conservative, then you look with suspicion at certain groups of people, maybe people who are Republicans during the Civil War, or immigrants, that kind of thing as well. In terms of, you mentioned the questions you're asked by journalists. Because this is a story that we all know, but it doesn't appear in popular culture very often, or doesn't appear in the media very often. So what have other journalists been interested in when they've been talking to you? What have they been asking you about?
Well, because of what's all that we are telling in this interview, depending on what side you are, the witches are different from you. And these journalists are obsessed with the feminism side of the story.
Oh, really?
At the time you are writing about these witch trials and everything, of course you have to be feminist to realize the accusations and everything, the unfair side of the story. But my novel is not about that precisely. It's about more the suffering and the sorrow and the things that you remember, the things that you want to change.
Okay.
And all of that.
It's more universal.
Yeah, it's more universal. I mean, the feminism is something that's in the finalities in the novel, but it's not the main thing. And the newspapers, the news, they want to make everything about this. Nowadays, and we are getting to a point that it's pretty difficult to talk about something without telling anything about feminism.
And do you feel it's because for them it's an easy headline and they can sell more papers, so you think it's that?
Also, yeah, I think that.
Do you think it could be ideological as well, that I'm a feminist and I want your work to represent this and I want you to agree with me?
It's a method to attract people.
Yeah.
But it's a method to them to say what you are telling me, that I'm feminist, I'm talking about this, I'm thinking of you, all the women and everything, but actually they don't think about us.
Yeah.
When it comes to serious issues, they don't think about us. So maybe you attract people with a headline.
Yeah.
That is very intelligent from you. But nowadays you have all the information with you. You see the unfair things that happen to us. I mean, do you really want to be treated like that? I mean, they are telling lies. You can feel that they are not interested in the things that you want to tell with your novel or with your art.
Yeah.
Basically, just they want to feel more important about the issues that they want to talk about all the time. It's all the time the same thing.
Yeah, it's very frustrating, because I think what the story is, the Salem Witch Trials story, there's obviously a feminist element to it, but it's also about having a fair trial, having a properly constructed society.
Yeah.
But also, it's a universal story in the sense that even when you have these conflicts, and it could be anything from the Irish War of Independence to World War II, there's always going to be this petty score settling that, you know, you did this to me 10 years ago, and now in this kind of wider context, here's my opportunity to get even with you, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just, and that's a mechanism through which they can kind of settle the score. And, you know, to limit it to just the one thing really does a disservice to the rest of the story, I think. That's at least my perspective anyway, but...
Basically the reason I have to write this kind of novel, because I felt free to write the story from this side, because there are a lot of articles, a lot of posts about the witches and the connection to the women nowadays. So people should know all the things about that. I mean, we can now explore another side of the story, another characters that were involved in the story, the judge or another character, because we know what it's like to be to be treated bad just for being woman. Now we have the opportunity to talk about other issues, because there are always. You are not making us a favor, saying the same thing a million times.
Do you feel as well that sometimes it could be condescending, as in this is what the reality is, and you have to feel this way?
I feel like that we have achieved some goals in our journey. I mean, people. The intelligent people now understand what the witch trials meant to the society and meant to the women themselves. Now it's what I'm saying. Now it's time to start speaking about other issues that were involved in this kind of story.
Okay, and what are those issues that you would like to focus on?
Mainly that there were reasons for men, for the judges, to make those decisions, and we have to understand that political and social situation back then, just to not repeat the same thing. And it's interesting to feel through our character what is the real pain. And to give an opportunity to everyone to feel ashamed and to want to change something that they did to someone. I feel that no one talks about that.
Okay.
When you feel really ashamed, you usually doesn't say anything. You don't say anything, basically, because you feel so ashamed, you feel that no one is going to believe you, or that it's not necessary to say anything at that point. But it is necessary. I mean, we can explore that side of the human mentality, of the human brain.
Okay.
That is something that was in that story and as well in other stories. And no one explains nothing about that.
And did you find this over the course of writing the story, or did you have this very clear in your mind before you put pen to paper?
It wasn't clear until the end, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to find the real theme for my novel, and through the character, I learned a lot of things. And when I finished the novel, it was clear to me what I wanted to say and the message that I wanted to give to people. But at first, it wasn't that clear.
It's funny how that works, because that happens to me as well, where you write something and it's only afterwards you connect the dots and think, that's it. That's the story that I want to talk about. This whole thing has been a whirlwind as well. It's been so exciting. You've been interviewed on radio, and you mentioned you're going on a tour as well. Last week you're in San Sebastian for this kind of writer's workshop. You loved it so much as well, no?
I loved it.
So did you learn anything very useful while you were at this workshop?
Yeah, because even if you know how to write, how to write correctly, and even if you know how to build a structure for your novel, I mean, with the characters, the ending, the adventure itself, there are a lot of details that you don't realize until you have written some books, not just one. Maybe you have to write 20 books to realize some things. So it's nice to have a person from that world with maybe more than 20 years of experience to tell you those things, even if it's about the reaction of the people and things that you can avoid and you can prepare for. Because me myself, I'm so afraid of the people's opinion,
too.
The reviews and everything. I'm so afraid. So it's nice to have someone to tell you, don't be afraid and don't think too much about that. I mean, it's important to read everything, to hear everyone.
Yeah.
But you don't earn anything going home and crying and just having that nightmare in your mind. You have to take all those things, all those bad opinions, to develop a new kind of writing.
I think it's to judge like if they're valid as well, you know, because sometimes you get a bad opinion and it's not valid. So you can ignore that one, but other times they are, of course. But I think I'm sure it's the same for you. But when you write something, you write for yourself. You're not writing for this imaginary audience. You're writing for the story you want to tell. And then when you're happy with it, then you release it. And then come what may, you get the good reaction or the bad reaction or whatever.
It was interesting because at first, of course, you're writing from yourself. I mean, you have to like what you are doing. But it's impossible not to think about that invisible audience when you have big plans in your future. And you want to release a book, you want to sell books, and everyone wants to sell books and to have people liking the novel
of
and
course.
Everything. Everyone wants that. And if someone is telling that she or he doesn't care, she's simply lying.
Yeah.
So it's important, but you have to think of you first of all.
Yeah.
Even if what I'm saying, even if you think about that audience, that's useful when it comes to create a story with all the all things, love, hate, pain. I mean, all those things attract people.
Yeah.
Those are the classical themes in literature, and it's interesting to have that in your mind, but. From all those things, you have to choose what you are good at. Explaining.
Yeah.
You have to have it all in your mind. And that is the difficult thing because you have to think about everything, not just yourself.
It's a balancing act.
Yeah.
And I know a guy who's on his second book. He's writing his second book. It's almost released, but his first book was so successful. He was like very nervous during the second book because it's like I have to follow this up. I have to have another successful one.
You have to fulfill some expectations. It's hard.
It's a different kind of reality. But we actually had a we put an article on Facebook. Kicked off a whole storm of people having huge arguments.
A storm is the right word, I think, for this.
One guy was really going after us, but I think we explained ourselves pretty well. So go to our Facebook, LRP, if you want to check that out, your listener.
Please check it out.
And follow and subscribe. And this sounds amazing. And you mentioned as well the big plans that you've had. So, you know, are you imagining, I mean, this story is so interesting and so compelling, as you've described, that this could turn into something bigger, that maybe it could be a TV production or eventually a movie or something like that. Has that crossed your mind?
Well, of course. I mean, I don't get the point to say no. I can't. I mean, I'm honest too. That's in my dreams. When I won the prize, I felt like a Hollywood celeb or something like that. I mean, I really felt amazing. But I'm nervous. I mean, I want to see how it's gonna be when it comes to sell the books and everything. But I would love to have, for example, a movie. I think it's a story that it's. I mean, you can create a movie about that story because there are already movies about that. It's true that my story is pretty complicated at some point because there are things like traveling, there are things like traveling on boats. That's difficult to record and to film.
Don't worry, if your novel is unfilmable, that makes your novel even better because James Joyce Ulysses is like, you can't make a movie out of this. And it's that's why the movie, like the book is like, people love it because it's so dense and intellectual that it's impossible to put on screen. I'll ask you a couple more questions.
Okay.
I know you're a busy woman. is there anything else about the book or the writing process or your experiences that you'd love to share with us while you're here?
Something else to say, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm new in this world. I mean, there are not a lot that I can say for now. And now we are making some changes in the novel just
Yeah, that's an interesting one actually. The changing, because you mentioned about being nervous about the criticism that could come from a review, which I completely identify with because I live in mortal terror of that. What about that process of getting notes back from the publishers? Does that kind of scare you as well, that kind of process, or are you more open to that? Because that also is kind of like, oh, that'd be like, what are they going
to
say?
And okay, you mean to the changes of the publishers and everything?
Yeah, those ones, yeah.
I was afraid of that. I was so innocent at first. I thought, they don't want to make any changes in the novel. I mean, I won that prize.
Yeah.
They think it's perfect now, but they don't think so. But they are behaving well with me. They just asked me to make some little changes.
Okay.
That I was agreed to.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not in every case. I mean, maybe you don't agree at all. But in this case, I agree, because there wasn't big changes. But I was afraid of that. You can feel that the publishers are professionalized with
yeah.
that. They are always thinking about selling, about the money, and about the people. I mean, they are not thinking about you.
Yeah.
They don't think about you.
And do you have control over things like the book cover?
I don't. I can't control those things. I mean, when they designed
the portada, book cover, yeah.
Okay, the book cover, and everything, they have the final word.
Okay.
I mean, I can choose what I like, or I can say my opinion, but it's just an opinion for them.
Yeah.
I mean, if they don't agree between themselves, you can say something. But no, they sent me the contract 2 weeks ago, and the contract is very funny because they have the decision in everything, and
yeah.
it's logic because they are the publishers, but that's the reality about this world.
I know someone who actually wrote a book and she had control over the book cover, but apparently she fought them every
yeah.
step of the way, and they weren't very happy with the book cover.
No.
And but she got her way in the end, and that was interesting to see, like, that she managed to get that, because for most writers, I assume that they don't have that kind of authority to
yeah,
say
right.
these things. So do you? Is it obviously a very interesting position to be in, where you're kind of like very
yeah,
grateful to publishers, but also it's like, oh, don't change too much.
Yeah, I mean, I can't be at war with them. I don't want to be at war with them, because I think that they know very well what they are doing, and I have confidence. I mean, but I know of some famous writers that have real problems with their publishers, but every publisher is different. So I can't say anything about that. But yeah, for the moment, I'm okay.
Very good. So I'll ask you one more question. So,
okay.
So you mentioned you did a lot of research into the historical details, the clothes,
yeah.
the food and things like that. Did anything weird turn up? Anything that just really blew your mind? Is like, I can't believe this happened, or they wore this, or...
Well, nothing especially weird.
Yeah.
But things were so different. The thing that most surprised me was... Well, this is from a part that I can't say anything. But there is a part of the story that is happening in a very special special place, which is a kind of a hospital.
Okay.
The rules in this hospital were very special, were very different back then. I can't say anything else, but these kind of places, hospitals or religious places or the organization of the boats and everything, it was so different. And it's interesting to read that about. I mean, we are nowadays we care a lot of the ill people and the people that are in hospitals, but it wasn't like that back in those years.
A lack of sympathy for mental health or
yeah.
people who are sick and things like that.
Yeah.
Okay, sounds fascinating. So,
yeah.
Mercedes, thank you so much for being with us
Thanks
today.
To you.
Best of luck with the book.
Thank you so much.
I'm sure it's going to be an amazing success. So thank you for tuning into this episode of the Elaborate Podcast. As you noticed, my partner in crime, Mary, was not with me today, but in our next episode, she'll be back and we'll talk about more cultural things. and we'll be keeping you abreast to date. We'll be keeping people up to date as well of all the stuff that will be happening with your book as well. And around November, we'll talk more about it as well. I hope. If you want to say goodbye to our listenerships.
Oh yeah, check this, but not only this interview, but everything, because it's so interesting and I really, really like it. I'm not saying this because I'm your friend. I'm saying this because I'm very honest.
Thank you very much. You did that perfectly. You're a pro.
Thank you.
So listen to the author. She knows what she's talking about.
I hope you understood everything because my English today is very weird. But I hope you understood everything.
Don't worry. Absolutely perfect. So thank you so much again, Mercedes. And thank you for listening. We'll catch you next time. The El Arpa Podcast, the home for cultural chit-chat in and outside Madrid. People will talk.